devoted.
Others to shield you and guide you.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 72, Verses 1 to 2, Saying of the Demon Jarasandha. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna heard King Yudhisthira's request and then arranged for Bhimasena to defeat Jarasandha. One day King Yudhisthira addressed Lord Krishna as he sat in the royal assembly. My Lord, I wish to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. In the sacrifice, people uninterested in your devotional service will be able to see firsthand the superiority of your devotees and the inferiority of non-devotees. They will also be able to see your lotus feet. Lord Krishna extolled Yudhisthira's proposition. Your scheme is so excellent that it will spread your fame throughout the universe. Indeed, all living beings should desire that this sacrifice be performed. To make this sacrifice possible, however, you must first defeat all the kings of the earth and collect all the necessary paraphernalia. Satisfied with Lord Krishna's words, King Yudhisthira sent his brothers to conquer the various directions. After they had conquered or won the fealty of the kings in their assigned directions, they brought back abundant wealth to Yudhisthira. They informed him, however, that Jarasandha could not be defeated. As King Yudhisthira pondered how he could subdue Jarasandha, Shri Krishna revealed to him the means for doing so, following the previous device of Uddhava. Bhima, Arjuna, and Shri Krishna then disguised themselves as brahmanas and went to the palace of Jarasandha, who is very devoted to the Dominican class. He introduced themselves as brahmanas to King Jarasandha, flattering him by praising his reputation for hospitality, and requested him to grant their desire. Seeing the marks of bowstrings on their limbs, Jarasandha concluded that they were warriors and not brahmanas, but still, even though fearful, he promised to fulfill whatever desire they might have. At that point, Lord Krishna discarded his disguise and asked Jarasandha to fight him in one-to-one combat. But Jarasandha refused, claiming that Krishna was a coward because he had once fled the battlefield. Jarasandha also declined to fight Arjuna on the plea that he was inferior in age and size, but Bhima he considered a worthy opponent. Thus Jarasandha handed Bhima a club and took up another himself, and they all went outside the city to begin the fight. After the fight had gone on for some time, it became clear that the two opponents were too equally matched for either to gain victory. Lord Krishna then split the small tree branch in half, thus showing Bhima how to kill Jarasandha. Bhima threw Jarasandha to the ground, stepped on one of his legs, seized the other with his arms, and proceeded to tear him apart from his genitals to his head. Seeing Jarasandha dead, his relatives and subjects cried out in lamentation. Lord Krishna then appointed Jarasandha's son ruler of Magadha and released the kings Jarasandha had imprisoned. So I will read first texts 1 and 2, and then we will chant Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, one day, as King Yudhisthira sat in the royal assembly, surrounded by eminent sages, brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, and also by his brothers, spiritual masters, family elders, blood relations, in-laws, and friends, he addressed Lord Krishna as everyone listened. So now, Shri, and you can repeat after him. Shri Yudhisthira Vacha. Pratiraja Govinda. Rajasuyena Pavani Yakshavirutir Bhavatas Tatsamhadaya Nakhava. Shirashirasha Rajasuyena The Surya Havani, Shri Guruji Bharatas, Satsambhadayana Prabhu, Shri Surya Vacha, Rastira Jaina Govinda, Rajasuya Havani, Akshay Bhuki Bhavata Sat Sambhadayana Prabhu Yudhisthira Vacha Pratyura Chena Govinda Rajasuyena Bhavani Rakshavi Bhuti Bhavachas Tat Sambhadayana Ladies Chirashtir Vacha Bhaktura Jena Govinda Jasuya Pahani Shri Bhavata Sambhadayana Prabhu Govinda Rajasuyena Bhavani Rakshe Vibhuti Bhavata Satsambhadayana Prabhu Shri Yudhisthira Vacha Shri Yudhisthira said, Ratu of major fire sacrifices, Rajena with the king, Govinda, O Krishna, Rajasuyena, named Rajasuya, Pavani, purifying, Yakshe, I wish to worship, Vibhuti, the opulent expansions, Bhavata, of yourself, such that, Sampadaya, please allow to happen, Naha, for us. Prabhu, O Master. Translation. Shri Yudhisthira said, O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious opulent expansions for the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic Brahmins. Please make our endeavor a success, my lord. Prabhu, Shridhar Swami states, the word Vibhuti refers to Lord Krishna's expansions, Amshan. And Sri Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur further explains that here the word Vibhuti refers to Lord Krishna's opulent expansions within this world, such as the demigods and other empowered beings. So Srila Prabhupada treats this verse as follows in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Lord Krishna, the sacrifice known as Rajasuya Yajna is to be performed by the emperor, and it is considered to be the king of all sacrifices. By performing this sacrifice, I wish to satisfy all the demigods who are your empowered representatives within this material world, and I wish that you will kindly help me in this great adventure so that it may be successfully executed. As far as the Pandavas are concerned, we have nothing to ask from the demigods. We are personally satisfied with being your devotees, As you say in Bhagavad Gita, persons who are bewildered by material desires worship demigods, but our purpose is different. I want to perform this Rajasiya sacrifice and invite the demigods to show them that they have no power independent of you. They are all your servants, and you are the supreme personality of Godhead. Foolish persons with a poor fund of knowledge consider your lordship an ordinary human being. Sometimes they try to find fault with you, and sometimes they defame you. Therefore, I wish to perform the Rajasiya Yajna. I wish to invite all the demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other exalted chiefs of the heavenly planet, and in that great assembly of the demigods from all parts of the universe, I want to substantiate that you are the supreme personality of Godhead and that everyone is your servant. Muktam karati vachalam bandham langyate dinyati vandham bande jivuram kutayanam Om Ajana Pinaranasya Ganantara Sharataya Chakshimiri Chanyana Tasana Shivaraya. Whatever a devotee does, it's only for Krishna's pleasure. And whatever Krishna does is for the devotee's pleasure. So here we see, why does Yudhisthira want to invite the demigods? He wants to glorify Krishna. And Krishna wants to help Yudhisthira because he wants Yudhisthira to be famous, as Prabhupada said in Krishna book, that Yudhisthira will become famous by performing this sacrifice. So there is an eternal competition between Krishna and his devotees. Who is going to win? Who will glorify the other one more? So, of course, worshipping the demigods, when a devotee worships the demigods, it's not like when others worship demigods. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 4, Tata paramula nishechanena tipyanti tatsanta vushokshata tanopaharacha tatendhyanam tataiva sarvahanam achupecha. By giving water to the root of a tree, one set aside its branches, twigs, and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one set aside all the senses of the body. So by engaging in the service of the Lord, one satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. So then, Prabhupada in his purport to this verse makes a very interesting comment, giving water to the root of the tree. See if you can figure out how this matches the verse. Therefore, he's talking to us. After reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, personality of Godhead. In other words, we should water the root. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. So Kunti Devi also, she was saying so many reasons, why is Krishna coming here? And one reason that she gave was to glorify his devotees. Pichirahurajam jatam punyashlokashtitaye Kunti said, some say the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. And others say he's born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. So Krishna, why does he come here? To glorify his devotees. Why should he perform the pastime of taking birth? She said, Kunti says, Punya Shlokasha. Kirtaya, to glorify the devotees, those who are pious, those who are advanced in spiritual understanding. So Krishna, he came as the son of Yashoda to glorify Yashoda. He came as the son of Nanda to glorify Nanda. Krishna came in the dynasty of Yadu to glorify Madhu, Yadu. And he comes to help Yudhisthira perform the Rajasiya sacrifice to glorify King Yudhisthira and Pandavas. So Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture on Kunti's verse about glorification, says that Krishna's only work, he has only one thing to do, and that's to glorify his devotees. Otherwise, he has nothing to do, Prabhupada said. He just wants to glorify his devotees. Just like a devotee, he has nothing to do except to serve Krishna and glorify him. See, Krishna is pleased. So Krishna has nothing to do but serve his devotees and please his devotees and glorify his devotees. He says in Bhagavad Gita, yayatamam sapadyante tam sitaitajanaham. So, Prabhupada translated this verse in a very interesting way, that usually we say, you know, as you surrender, I reward you accordingly. And Prabhupada translated, if you dedicate your life for glorifying Krishna, then Krishna is ready to glorify you. So also, he is very dear to, King Yadu is very dear to him, Priyasya, Yadu Priyasya. We want to become Priya, we want to become dear to Krishna. So, if we're always serving Krishna's lotus feet, then we can become dear, we can become Priya. And then if we become dear to Krishna, then all our problems are solved, Prabhupada said. Just like if you become a dear child of a very rich man, then no more problems. So if we become dear to Krishna, there's no more problems. So this is our challenge of our life, is somehow to become dear to Krishna, somehow to glorify Krishna. Not only with our words, with our body, with our mind, with our life. In 10th canto, Krishna says, panar artai dhya vacha. That a very magnanimous person, he gives his life, his prana, his artha, his money, and his intelligence, dhya, and his words. So first you should give your life. And if you can't give your life, your prana, then panar artha, you give some money. Krishna, artha, if you have no money, dhya, you can give some intelligence. And if you think you don't have any intelligence, then vacha, you can speak. You can speak, glorify Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna. So Arjuna, he was Priya. So Krishna spoke Gita to him. Yudhisthira is Priya. He is very dear to Krishna. So therefore, he wants to glorify Krishna and Krishna wants to glorify him. So punya shloka could be said. This is, the devotee is described as punya shloka. Krishna is uttama shloka. Why is devotee called punya shloka? Because he glorifies Krishna with selected prayers. And Prabhupada tells us how we can become punya shloka and also become priyasya, or dear to Krishna. And he quotes the verse, nashta payesha vadishu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Eternally, we should serve the Bhagavad, book Bhagavad and devotee Bhagavad. And also, another thing goes with that. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya and Kirtanaya Sadahari. Always chant Hare Krishna. The two go together. To understand the holy name, Bhagavatam helps us. It gives us conviction. And to understand Bhagavatam, the holy name will help us to understand. Vidyavatu Jivanam. So devotees like to worship the things which are in relation to Krishna, tadiya. So therefore, in this purport, it's said vibhuti. He wants to worship vibhuti, the opulent expansions. But when we see the demigods in relation to Krishna as Vaishnavas, then it's tadiya, seva, then we are worshiping that which is in relation to Krishna. So the devotees, they use everything in Krishna's service. Even they worship the demigods. The gopis worship Katyayani to attain their purpose, to get Krishna as their husband. So that's one reason why Yudhisthira wanted to invite the demigods to glorify Krishna. And another reason, Prabhupada gives here in the purport, is to prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the demigods are his servants. Because sometimes when Krishna comes, people find fault with him and they defame him. So if we study Griha Bhagavatamrita, this is explained actually there, how it goes a little bit more deeper into the emotions of Yudhisthira and why he wants to perform this Rajasiya sacrifice. So I'm quoting from Griha Bhagavatamrita, first part, chapter 5, verses 47 to 56. Yudhisthira is speaking. He says, if ordinary materialists see the many calamities that have come upon us, their faith and their inclination to serve Krishna are likely to wither. So he's worried about the people if they see, you know, devotees of Krishna, ooh, so many problems we have. And they may say, you better I don't be a devotee. And this happens. I mean, in some parts of India, they're afraid to worship Krishna. They say, yes, well, you know, because maybe you may lose everything. He may take everything away from you. And especially if he has a flute in his hands. They'll worship him without the flute sometimes. Because if you hear the flute, that's it. You're finished, you know. You may just leave home and give up everything and surrender to Krishna, as he says in Bhagavad Gita. And in India, what that means is you leave your wife, you leave your children, but they don't understand bhakti. And that's why when I travel in the West and in Europe, I see a lot of Indians, they tell me, oh yeah, it's easier for us to join here because our parents aren't here. You know, they're grown up, you know, like 30s, 40s. But, they can't join in India because their parents don't like them. Because they're afraid. They're afraid of renunciation in the Grihastha life. But our Grihasthas are also renounced. So, the commentary on Yudhishthira's verse, King Yudhishthira refutes the idea that the Pandavas possess Krishna's mercy. That's what we have on the comment as well. Simple people believe Krishna's devotees never suffer misfortune. So Yudhishthira says, when such people see the Pandavas' extreme adversities, the faith will be spoiled. But he knows, Yudhishthira knows the opposite is true. By hearing about Krishna's loving dealings with the Pandavas, people gain faith. So Yudhishthira qualifies his statement with the word eva, as if the devotees are unfortunate. So then Yudhishthira continues, this would, you know, if the people lose faith, because seeing our example, this would surely cause us great distress, for we've dedicated our life and breath only to him. We would suffer like embodied creatures without food or like fish deprived. So his feeling for the people. And that's another reason, that's the second reason why he wants to do this sacrifice. So people will seek the opulence. And Yudhishthira, the demigods are coming, and they're going to give everything, and he's going to get opulence more than the demigods by doing this sacrifice. So the commentary says, the Pandavas do not resent having been subjected to so many troubles, but they feel responsible for diminishing the faith of other devotees, and this makes them sad. Only the force of Krishna's affection keeps the Pandavas alive. Later on, they go to the forest, and Narada Muni visits the Pandavas in the forest, and he tells Krishna, you know, I saw them in the forest. They're suffering. They're sleeping on the ground. But, you know, I don't know what you're doing to them. I think you hypnotize them because their love for you is increasing. I don't know how this is. They're just increasing their love for you, even though they're in so much misfortune and living in the forest. And so, yes. So, therefore, Yudhishthira says, on the pretext of arranging a sacrifice, I begged Krishna, dear Master, please show how the fortunes of the devotees and the non-devotees differ. So this is verse 5 that's coming up on next Monday. So the commentary, Yudhishthira did not do the sacrifice for the power and fame that were in him. He and his brothers were untouched by such material motives. He just wanted the world to better understand the glories of Krishna. So that's verse 5 here. Let the world see the power of devotional service. Show them the position of those Kurus who worship you and those who do not. And of course, we will see that after the battle of Kurukshetra that only the Pandavas are remaining. And that's what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, that you just be an instrument, you will remain, only you Pandavas, and everyone else will die in the battle of Kurukshetra. But then later, after they got, of course, the kingdom, then Kunti is saying, you know, better we have calamities, because now you're leaving us. What is the use of our name and fame in our body if you're just like dead bodies, if you go? So anyway, but now we're back at the Rajasuya, and he says that these people will see the wonderful assets that belong to your devotees in this life and the next. Opulence is all pure, distinct from material assets. And gaining trust in you, people will worship you when you sleep. Become free of misery and fear and achieve happiness. So the commentary on this verse, the people are influenced by the example of their leaders. The Pandavas, they did their responsibility perfectly. By their devotion, they carried out the Rajasuya sacrifice, justice, and administration when they became king, and the position among the demigods that were sure to attain in the next life. So they inspired the innocent people to follow the path of devotional service, and that's the duty of the king. Everyone could see the extraordinary wealth and power of the Pandavas was untainted by material faults because it was supposed to be used for Krishna. If we go back to Canto 1, chapter 10, verse 5, it talks about the rule of King Yudhisthira. I would just like to share a verse with you. Verse 5, Nadya samudra giraya savanas pati vivura palant gaushahaya sava kamam an vipitasya vai. Wow. The rivers, oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers, and active drugs in every season paid their tax quota to the king in succession. So not only the people paid their tax, everything paid their, the hills, the oceans, they were in harmony with King Yudhisthira, and they paid their tax also. So when there's a Krishna conscious king, there's harmony in the kingdom. Every tree, every herb, every mountain, they have their service to Krishna. And when there's a Krishna conscious king, they all engage in the service of Krishna. They give their tax. So Srila Prabhupada said there, there is an order given by the Lord to each of the parts of his universal form. Even the rivers, they have an order. He has created them for a purpose. The oceans, the hills, the vegetables. Prabhupada said each and every creeper has a purpose as a service, but we don't know what it is. So Prabhupada gives the example of the river. It's supposed to give water the whole year. In the rainy season, it's collected on top of the hill, and it's stuck there by Krishna's arrangement, and then the water comes down. I don't know about here, but in India, we have tanks on the top of our houses, and we pump the water up, and then it comes down. So the natural tank is the top of the mountains, and then the water comes down, and that's arranged by Krishna. So full cooperation was there in the kingdom of Yudhisthira. And this is how nature can be controlled, by surrendering to Krishna. If you become disobedient to Krishna, then everything is taken away. Nature will give you trouble. And if you surrender, then Krishna will help you. So the rivers, the mountains, the oceans, it belongs to Krishna. It should be used for Krishna. And that's why people will be inspired by seeing the example of Yudhisthira, because whatever he got, whatever he used in his kingdom is for glorifying Krishna. You could go to verse 6. Because of the king having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold. So imagine that. Why are we suffering excessive heat or cold, mental agonies, diseases? The fault of the king. We know that in Krishna book, when somebody's children died, the baby died on birth, they blamed the king. The king's fault. So imagine if we had a Krishna conscious king, so responsible. We hear about King Prithu in the fourth canto. And he was telling his citizens, there was such a wonderful relationship between the king and the citizens. He was instructing them in Varnashram Dharma. He was saying, please, I want you to follow your duties for my benefit. Then I will have a better next life. So there was so much love. You know, why would they want to do their duties for the king? Because he loved them and they loved him. There was a reciprocal relationship. So we can see that with Yudhisthira. He had this feeling for the people. And that's why he wanted to do the Rajasuya sacrifice. Not for his own glory, for his fame, for the money, the wealth that he would get. So, in the same way, Srila Prabhupada wanted to glorify Krishna. And Krishna wanted to glorify, he wants to glorify Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada came with nothing to America, materially speaking. Just a few Bhagavatams, some oatmeal and potatoes, I believe, and a lot of determination to to follow his guru's instructions. He sat down in the park and started chanting under the tree. He printed Bhagavad Gita and so many books to glorify Krishna. Whenever he was praised, he passed it on to his spiritual master, Sri Bhaktivedanta Saraswati, or to his disciples. He would say that it's because of us that he's able to do anything. He didn't take credit for anything except one thing. And that is, he said, I did not change anything. I gave it as a gift. So then Krishna, he glorified Prabhupada in the centennial 1996, huge glorification. Now again, it's coming, I believe, the 50th anniversary of something. Prabhupada leaving Calcutta, okay? So this year, I believe in Calcutta, they have a huge place to seat thousands, and they're inviting the demigods of this world, a few ministers, and to come. You can't, those demigods may also come, who knows? They're trying to glorify Srila Prabhupada. There's a competition. Who's going to win this competition? Will Krishna glorify Prabhupada more, or will Prabhupada glorify Krishna more? This is going on in the spiritual world. And we can transform this world into Vaikuntha also by glorifying Krishna, by chanting Hare Krishna. As Krishna says, as it is said in the Puranas, Naham Tishtami Vaikunthe. Yoginam Hideyeshiva Tatakishtami Narada Yapagayan Kimad Bhattaha. Major Narada, I don't live in my abode, Prabhupada says, in my abode, Vaikuntha, nor do I live in the hearts of the yogis. I live in that place where my pure devotees chant my holy name and express my form, quality. So if we chant Hare Krishna, if we glorify Krishna, we can bring Vaikuntha right here. Of course, we have Mayapur, Navadvip, and we have Goloka Vrindavan, Radisham, and Krishna Balaram. It's very similar to Vrindavan, but I think these deities are younger. They're beautiful. They're younger age here. Vrindavan is very mature. But I don't feel lost. Having left Vrindavan, because I feel like I'm still here. But also, when you chant, you bring Vrindavan down. As it is said, Shinvatam Sakata Krishna, when you shavan a Krishna. But simply by chanting and hearing the voice of Krishna, then the Lord, he actually cleans your heart. We do know these Siddhis to come. As Albert says in a purport of fourth canto of the Siddhatam movement, started by the High International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is meant for creating Vaikuntha. Another purpose of ISKCON, I don't know if that's one of the seven, I think it is one of the seven purposes. And that is by Shravanam Krishna, chanting the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Jai Dinguhe, Vajana Bhakti, Guhe Te Tolo Kapaya. And one day, when I was doing my worship, My house transformed into Goloka. So Prabhupada said, yes, we can change our home into Vaikuntha, Goloka, not difficult. Vaikuntha is all pervading, we just have to realize it. So Krishna came here, he brought Radisham and Krishna Balaram Gurnitai. And he made Raman Reiki, new Raman Reiki, new Vrindavan, not new Vrindavan, new Raman Reiki. Because of his purity and his empowerment. So let us follow his footsteps. Let's please Prabhupada glorifying Krishna and please Krishna by glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And then our life will be perfect. So you have any questions? Yes, there's questions by Shishu.
Thank you, nice to meet you. You were describing a very reciprocal Krishna. Mm-hmm. What if we're not experiencing that in our lives? Are we doing something wrong, or is it?
What if we're not?